Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Partner Connection. This is where we like to take a few minutes to try and take technical topics, try and make them easier to understand, really try and understand some of these mega trends and the relevance for our partner community. And today I'm delighted to be joined by Jay McBain, who's chief analyst at Canalys. And Jay leads research for North America. He's been on the speaking circuit all over the world, and he's an integral part of their advisory team. And prior to Canalys, Jay was a principal analyst at Forrester and has held various channel sales and marketing and strategy roles with IBM and Lenovo. So welcome, Jay. I'm so excited to have you join us.
Well, thank you so much. Excited to be here.
Let's just jump right in. One of the topics that I'd like to really kind of explore and have a discussion around here is this exploring the modern workplace. And we've all navigated our way post-pandemic, and we're talking about hybrid work. But, you know, you look at some of these technology influences that are really just, you know, emerging capabilities and technologies transforming the way we work, such as AI, and how do we strike that right balance? And we're watching companies in the industry, much like Dell, we've just announced a hybrid return to work policy. And, you know, if I'm honest, I think a lot of these companies, we're all trying to strike that right tone and that right balance, but equipping and enabling and empowering people with the right kind of capabilities and technology to even work remote is pretty important. So I'd love to kind of dive in, and I know you've got some interesting thoughts around this, around what it may mean. And for our partners, you know, it's a huge growth driver and an amazing opportunity. And when we look at the flexible but the productive work environment, tell me a little bit about what you're seeing. And then I'd love to touch on this faction of AI PC and what AI may mean, but security for endpoint devices and sustainability is increasingly an important topic. So why don't I just tee it up and talk about your view and thoughts on the key drivers around modern work?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an exciting time at the edge. You know, I've looked backwards and we study this industry, you know, back 43 years. And I would say at no time has there been a more important time, not only in PCs, but, you know, kind of at the edge. And 2024 is the year that the majority buyer will switch into millennial, born after 1982. That's both by quantity of buyer as well as budget. And so when you study the psychology, the behavior, the journey they're on, the PC has never been more important. And whether it's working at the office, whether it's working at home, whether it's working at a coffee shop, the device itself has never been more important in terms of integrating. And, you know, for those of us that are Gen X or baby boomers, we always debated, you know, what work-life balance was and how you draw a line between the two. The younger generation actually blends it much better than we do and did. And look at the technology they use as helping them integrate that better. And with the technologies you mentioned, with AI, with greater security at the edge, and obviously companies like Dell thinking about sustainability more than ever before, it's all coming together in an inflection point right now.
It definitely is. And I've been commenting about the sheer pace. If there's anything that this generative AI disruptive capability is illustrating is just how fast and the sheer pace this new level of innovation is going to have. And I know there's quite a bit of talk about an AI PC and having, as you said, an edge device or your productivity device AI ready. What's your point of view and how would you advise both what you're seeing with customers as well as partners on use cases? And what is the overall application of AI at a PC? I goof around with ChatGPT, and we've all seen a few of these new apps that you can create, digital twins and now text to video. But what do you see maybe in the next 18 months might be one of the biggest areas of opportunity for the use cases on a PC with AI?
Yeah, it's really interesting as it rolled out, and we're really at the 1-year anniversary of what became this massive consumer trend. You know, our neighbors, our friends saw this on TV. They read about it in the newspaper. They come running to us as technology people asking, hey, what is this? And some people think that we've just lit up Skynet and, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to come back as Terminator. And, you know, others are trying to dig in and say, what does this mean to me? I've gone to ChatGPT. It's written me some music and poetry. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out what this means going forward. But a year later, we do know some things. We know that 85% of the world's data sits at the edge. So while a lot of the discussions around large language models have been around partners of Dell like Microsoft, OpenAI, Google, and others, the actual work of AI happens at the edge. That's where the business data sits. And if I'm going to be doing marketing or selling or customer success, if I'm going to rethink parts of my business around invoicing and billing, if I'm going to rethink service tickets, if I'm a partner, there's a huge internal opportunity first before I ever talk to a client to rethink how we do our day-to-day operations, the workflows, the business processes, the logic that we run within our business can be tuned and refined, and we can get competitive advantage by using this technology first. And what's interesting, looking back to emerging technology of the past, IoT 10 years ago was really cool, but there was not any partners thinking, I'm going to hang a beacon in my location and it's going to change my world. No one last year during the metaverse craze thought, you know, I'm going to wear a headset and this is going to change my world. But generative AI is one of the first emerging techs that are now an internal opportunity first. And you can rethink everything. The term co-pilot came out by Microsoft, and it's a good topic to think, how do I augment what I do, what my colleagues do, what my business does, and working together with generative AI, how does 1+1 become 3? And I think a year later, that's where we are.
We've been describing, you know, if last year, 2023, was the year of proof of concepts and exploration and education, and the year of 2024 is of implementation, right? People are experimenting. You've got to go put a use case into work. You got to learn on this stuff as we go. And I've been encouraging everyone, the pace is moving so quickly, you don't dare continue to analyze. You've got to act. And you've got to just learn with what it can do. And you commented about business process, which I think is actually at the essence of what this technology can unlock, right? It can really allow us to reimagine processes that have just grown over time. And all of us, all companies have them that are just masking some inefficiencies that this can really root out. But it's also going to represent, I think, an amazing refresh opportunity for our partners because, you know, we've talked about Windows 11 being a compelling reason. Now you're talking about an AI PC. Inherently, when you want to deploy Copilot or you want to run some other AI-enabled assistant workloads, it is going to help create a bit of a catalyst, I think, for a refresh.
I definitely do. And I said earlier that 85% of the world's data sits on-premises. So it sits out there in EMC storage. It sits being processed on Dell servers. But at the edge, when we look at these large language models, which might sit in public clouds, there's no plans by any of the large language models to forklift all that data back into some large data center somewhere. It's going to happen in real time, low latency, and it's going to happen right at the point we're doing business. So the closer to the edge is going to drive a cycle where this processing and the outputs of generative AI are going to happen. So we're pretty excited and we're making some pretty big predictions over the next few years, what this means for the PC market, what this means for the on-premises data center, the storage and the CPUs and the networking. And it's going to surprise quite a few people that while trillion-dollar value companies are outbuilding language models, most of the business work is going to be done out at the edge. And so this is a true hybrid strategy. And, you know, that's going to drive a refresh cycle starting this quarter. I mean, we're already starting to see some of this take place.
I think that's fascinating. And I think it's really illustrative also that you know, the true power of what these AI capabilities can deliver is, first, it's all dependent on your data, right? Because you can apply these technologies, it's as good as your data is. And increasingly, I think the maximum value is in a very specialized use case. The more granular you get, the more specific you are, the more value you can glean out of the insights in your data. And to your point, most of that lives at the edge where it's being collected. So I agree with you on this context of it's going to be a hybrid deployment, but you'll be leveraging these capabilities, to your point, both in the data center on private data sets, but also at the edge where the data is generated and created. So exciting times. I'm pretty fascinated by this stuff. And I think we're going to see new businesses born. We're going to see new companies created. We're going to find new and innovative ways to leverage this, which will be a phenomenal cycle. So let me ask you a little bit, kind of on the same trend of modern work. I mentioned that we're seeing companies formalize their hybrid work, return to the office trend. And we're not alone, but I've been describing it a little bit as disruptive as the pandemic was, where we all adapted to working remotely overnight at home. I think we've all been trying to find that equilibrium on how do we not lose our culture? How do we make sure that we're really doing a service to our early in career, younger employees? That candidly is just no substitute for watching people work in action, right? So tell me kind of your point of view or where you think this thing will land in the way of equilibrium, because I don't think we're going back, right? This notion of working remote and hybrid is here to stay, but the context of striking the right balance by vis-a-vis return to office or return to site policies.
Yeah, humans at our very essence are social creatures. And the communities that we create around us are more important than almost anything. And I look back at my early days in the work world, and if I didn't have access to sitting in that cubicle and listening, you know, to conversations of other professionals that, you know, have worked 10, 20, 30, 40 years in the industry, I wouldn't have progressed my career. I wouldn't have been able to put myself in other situations. So for the young people, as you mentioned, it's absolutely critical. You can't learn over Zoom or WebEx or Teams what you can learn by being in a meeting, by being face-to-face, by having that conversation, by just being part of that culture, being at the water cooler inside the environment. So a company will not succeed being fully remote. But on the flip side, this old adage of 9 to 5, 40 hours a week and punching the clock and things like that, there's a much more hybrid set of work, because once you got that piece, but you actually have to get work done and get it done, whether you travel or whether you're, you know, working on different private and personal things, this idea that work expands beyond just that, you know, kind of things that maybe we learned from previous generations, cookie cutter type of roles. And so I'm pretty excited about the future. And like you said, I think there's new companies. I think there's new ways to think about it. And getting the most out of human capital, most out of human potential, I think, again, happens at the edge, but it happens in this new way of thinking. These are the companies that are going to be the most successful, the ones that figure this out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So talk a little bit about the partner opportunity, because you and I are both passionate advocates for our partners. And you look at these mega trends that we were just discussing, and you look at their expertise, and increasingly, you know, I mean, for the last several years, we've been talking about specialization, right, and vertical expertise and whatnot with partners. How do they maximize the opportunity and capitalize and kind of layer in their capabilities, if you will, to these trends? What would be your call to action or just recommendation with what you see?
Yeah, if we start with AI, for example, we've mapped out about $158 billion of services wrapped around AI by 2028. It's growing at 59.3% compounded. So if you look at any other hardware, software, services category within the $5 trillion business and government spend on technology, it is one of the fastest growing areas. So When you look at it, though, it's entirely across the customer journey. You're not just reselling this many billions of dollars of product, but you're consulting, you're designing, you're architecting, you're implementing and integrating. And there's hundreds of services involved in working with your customers at the business level, at their technology level, at the compliance levels, and all the different areas. This is very exciting for Dell partners, because not only are you thinking about AI as an internal opportunity that we already discussed, but now think about reshaping or reframing every one of your customers, depending on their industry, the sector, segment they're in, the geography they're in. All these things present a huge opportunity, you know, to help them transform inside the same opportunity. And so for us, it really widens the scope before, during, and after the transaction of products in terms of really lifting up and engaging at a more serious level, transformational level within our clients. So just there is a 59% growth curve over the next 4 or 5 years that really can't be ignored.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable, honestly. I describe myself as an optimist at heart, but when I look at these trends, all the capabilities that you just described, and then back to my comment about the pace, it's inherently partner-centric sales motions. Customers are overwhelmed with the complexity. The use cases are increasingly specific, as we were just discussing. The pace is hard to comprehend. And I think partners inherently mitigate risk. They help accelerate time to revenue. They help manage through the complexity. And all of these things are inherently partner-centric. None of us can do it alone, much less our customers. So I think the TAM expansion you've just outlined, the new use cases, frankly, the leverageability in some of the transferable expertise that they have around hybrid cloud and multi-cloud and data center are going to lend themselves here too, I believe, beyond just the inherent refresh opportunity that we believe exists on both the client edge side as well as, frankly, this whole GPU server side for AI workloads. It's pretty phenomenal. So what are you seeing maybe in the way of consumption models? We've got a pretty comprehensive Apex portfolio. There's no question that there was customer demand for more modern consumption models as they looked at how they deploy. What's your view, or what's the impact potentially on PC as a service?
So we've been watching, I mentioned earlier, this new millennial buyer, very subscription and consumption friendly, grew up with Amazon consumption model, Netflix, Spotify. This goes into the business world as well, rethinking how you acquire a PC, how you acquire a service in Apex. So in the surveys we're doing around the world, 20,000 different partners were asking, we got 76% of them now that are seeing material revenue within PC as a service. And this is a really, really large and growing number that we haven't seen in years back, but it's serving these new as a service models, you know, a platform level and as a service model. And we're also seeing, by the way, over 300,000 partners around the world that have at least one managed contract. So 82% of customers are outsourcing some or all of their IT, and they're also seeing their own recurring revenue opportunities wrapped around PC as a service and other Apex models. So this is a changeover. It's a generational change. And the numbers that we're seeing of partners that are taking advantage of this, and obviously more sticky, more reliable, repeatable, scalable revenue, higher valued, you know, in terms of your company's worth, as well as just the stickiness of earning a customer for life. All the benefits are here than just working on a 3-year, 4-year refresh cycle. And so we're just happy to see that companies like Dell with the programs to support this, the education, training, the incentives, but we're happy to see partners, you know, over 300,000 of them now in this market, benefiting, delighting customers in selling these new models.
Well, I'll tell you, our industry, it's a wonderful place to be because it's always innovating. It's very dynamic. And there's no question that right now happens to be one of those times in our industry that is super disruptive and dynamic, but opening amazing opportunities. And as you said, all of those changes and the adoption and embracing by partners is the partner community and the ecosystem, frankly, just evolving. To your point, you said they're transformative engagements as opposed to prior integration engagements, which is sticky. It is unlocking value for both the partner and the customer. So pretty exciting and pretty phenomenal. I mean, there's a lot of meaty topics here. I know you and I could probably riff on for about an hour. I mean, I get pretty energized by it. And I think for our partners, there's no question that all of this points to amazing growth potential and growth horizons. So as we summarize, Jay, I have to tell you, I can't let you go and I can't let you get away, because I always like to kind of wind down with my guests and ask you to share a fun fact about yourself. You know, what's a fun fact about Jay that we may not know, the colleagues may not know, wouldn't be on your resume? What's a fun fact about you?
Well, I'm going to riff on a Cheryl Cook LinkedIn post. I was just about to say Instagram post, but a LinkedIn post about Taylor Swift. Our third oldest daughter is turning 10. We're having a huge Taylor Swift party. Everybody has to come dressed either as a Swiftie or Travis Kelce. But we're picking up the entire family, going to Paris on Mother's Day to watch her concert in Paris. So we become Swifties ourselves.
I love the story. One, what a fabulous family memory and family bonding experience, and how fun for your wife to get to do that on Mother's Day. But I mean, the whole world is kind of caught up in this social phenomenon. But how fun is that? So you're going to be the dad with all the girls at the Swiftie show.
I'll be the dad. Maybe I'll get a, you know, Kansas City 87 shirt or something for that one day.
Well, I appreciate your insights, and I always appreciate chatting with you, Jay. So thanks so much for all your research and all of your great feedback and advocacy for the partners. And thanks for joining me today.
All right. Thank you.
Well, that was a great conversation with Jay. And today we are more excited than ever about the future of the PC, the role it's going to play, not just in hybrid work, but really enabling and empowering all these exciting future AI workloads and capabilities. And AI promises just immense productivity benefits for all of our users and our client peripherals. And we certainly enjoy bringing really, really innovative PCs and technology to the market. So thanks for joining, and so happy to have you tune in next time.